I give honor to God for my pastor who shares this sacred desk with me, with us, as we come to do the work of the Lord, and that is to bring a word of encouragement to God's people. Our scripture this morning comes from the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. And it reads as thus. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, where he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing by. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then that you may wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed, and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three sheaves of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to the servant, who hurried to prepare it. He brought them some curd and milk and the calf which had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under the tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" he asked them. They asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord says, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in age, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is there anything too hard for God? I will return to you at this appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Let us pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this desk. Fill me with your spirit, O God, and allow me to do what you have called me to do. Do it, God, so that others might hear you, God, and be encouraged by your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. If I tag our time together with a title, it would be, "When Hope Fades, God Can Still Make You Laugh." The preacher, teacher in me want to teach more today than preach. I think our pastor have already preached, given the situation that's going on in our community, our society, our country at large. Being a mother of a son, I too know that stress of knowing that your child is out there, and if they're coming back safely, you wrestle with that. But God is good and he's able. And so this morning, I ask that you would bear with me. My heart is heavy over being a mother and thinking along with this mother and praying for her, that the Lord will fill me and do what he's called me to do. This is a very familiar text about two very familiar people. For those who have spent any time in church or been in church service, surely you've heard of Abraham and Sarah. They were the patriarchs and the matriarchs of God's people. One day God came to Abraham and says, "Leave your country and your people and go to a land I will show you." God promised Abraham a great blessing. Abraham and Sarah left their home and their family in Ur of the Chaldees, full of hope and expectations of a better life. They set off to find a new land and to have the family that God promised them that they would have. God promised Abraham he would be the father of all nations and his seed would be greater in number than the stars in the sky. Now, Sarah had no idea where she was going. She just followed Abraham and put her trust in him and in God. But years went by, and there wasn't even the least sign of children. these descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Sarah's hope diminished and her disgrace at being childless grew. Abraham had left his homeland with Sarah with a promise from God. His nephew Lot decided that he would follow Abraham as well and went with him on his journey. But things changed along the way. You see, Lot grew, he grew great in his holdings and he became very prosperous and decided that he didn't need Abraham anymore. So he went off on his own. But Abraham and Sarah continued to move forward in the plans of God and they encountered some life-threatening situations along the way. Abraham and Sarah told half-truths in the attempt to secure their safety, but God still had to intervene to save them. Abraham grew in wealth and resources, but still no heirs. When it appeared to both Abram and Sarah, the real hope, the real blessing, the best promise of God was not going to happen to them, they grew weary. God told Abram, took Abram aside again and established another covenant with him and again promised him that he would be the father of all nations, that his seed would be great and that he would outnumber the number of sand on the seashore. Life went on and Abram and Sarah held to God's promise, but one day something happened. Something changed that neither of them could fix. They couldn't do anything about it. You see, years and years had gone by and Sarah had not conceived. Now her body was no longer able to conceive. Her body's ability to reproduce was ended. You see, the blood flow that stopped, and she now realized that she was barren. No doubt Sarah cried and cried because her hope was faded and her dreams were empty. No doubt Sarah felt depressed about what she knew that she had to accept. Sarah thought to herself, I will not be part of this great work of God. And this great work that God is doing in the life of Abraham and his people. All I have was my hopes. After all, God didn't speak to me. He spoke to Abraham. It never occurred to Sarah that God was still in control. And the promise was for an appointed time. All Sarah thought was her value depended on how many sons that she would be able to bear her husband. Heirs was their insurance for the old age, their pension, their hedge for the future. Heirs was needed to continue the existence of them and their family. Being barren in those days was almost a curse. Sarah had already suffered the disgrace and of having no children, the curious looks and the questions, the expectations and the pressure of family and society, because they believed her to be barren. But she was holding on to God's promise and to her husband. In this time and culture, you see, a man had the right to send his wife away if she didn't give birth to children. Had the right to marry another or take a second wife and have children with her. So Sarah came up with this bright idea. She would give Hagar, her handmaiden, to Abram so that they would have an heir through her. You see, Sarah's hope was fading fast. You see, Abram loved Sarah, but allowed himself to get caught up in her pain and her disappointment, forgetting the promise of God, and took Hagar as his wife. Hagar conceived, and afterwards, she thought that she should be the first wife. She, after all, I'm the one that conceived. I was the one that was a blessing to this man of God. When you get ahead of God's will, you can really mess up and cause ourselves more pain and sorrow than you could ever imagine. Stay in your lane. God doesn't need your bright ideas. And solution to what you perceive is a problem for God. God doesn't lie, and God is able to do just what he said he would do. You see, God has already ordained the promise for our life. He's just waiting for the appointed time. God has already spoken it. He's just waiting for our faith to show up so that we can receive it. You see, God has given us the promise, but we're willing to settle for the provision. You see, provisions are for a season and they will eventually end. The promise of God is from everlasting to everlasting. Through the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the promise of eternal life. But we get caught up in the provision and not the promise. Sarah, now broken down over the mess that she had created, began to complain to Abram, her husband, about Hagar's attitude. She invited this woman into their intimate circle and now complained because the woman wants a seat at the table. Hagar was quite willing to keep her place as the handmaiden, but Sarah invited her to the table because Sarah's faith was fading. Her hope was gone. The promises of God are true, and when our hope is fading, we have to draw on our faith. Don't give away your blessings because the situation looks impossible to you. Hold on to your faith in God. When your hope in yourself is fading, the hope in God has not. Now let's fast forward to the day that the Lord showed up with a miracle for Sarah. You see, there is a miracle that's coming. It hadn't been that long since the Lord came to Abram to establish another covenant with him and his seed in the covenant of the, which was the covenant of the circumcision. At this point, there was only Ishmael, Abram's son, a provision, and the servants. Every male in Abram's household had to be circumcised. From that day, every male born would be circumcised to fulfill the covenant between Abram and God. God did something else at this same time with this covenant. He changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, from exalted father to father of many nations. He also did not forget Sarah. He changed her name also from Sarah to Sarah, from princess to noble woman. God, speaking to Abraham, promised to bless Sarah and give her a son, and promised Abraham that Sarah would be the mother of all nations, securing her position in God. Hearing this, Abraham fell down to his face and laughed at the thought. He was 100 and Sarah was 90. Yet God still intended to bless them with a son. You see, Abraham believed God could do it. But here they were, old, broken down, and worn out. No doubt they didn't have the energy they used to have. No doubt they were feeling closer to the nursing home than the nursery. No doubt they had been settled in their ways, in their routines, giving praise to God for what God had already done. But you see, I love those "but God" moments. You see, just when you think that it's over, when your hope is faded, you think God is finished with you, ready for retirement, but that's when God shows up. You see, this was a "but God" moment in the life of Abraham and Sarah. A new chapter was beginning. A new life was going to start. God had a new beginning for them. In spite of the hope that had faded, in spite of their age and the years of waiting, in spite of the mistakes they had made, God was coming through with a delivery, with a sanctified UPS delivery, with an anointed and appointed priority mail delivery. You see, a holy and divine delivery coming, whether rain, sleet, or snow, God was on the way. You see, life after death, a child after years and decades of infertility, a future after disappointment and frustration. This, my sisters and brothers, is the summing up of Sarah, one of the mothers of faith. Her ancient story told by the patriarchal narratives of the people of Israel. Sarah's hope had finally come to an end. It was no longer fading, it was gone. She tried to believe, she tried to hold on. Her faith in God was still there, but her hope in what God could do through her was gone. Up to this point, that dreadful day, she held on to the hope that one day I still might get pregnant. But it became clear that she would never have a child of her own. It was even clearer that she was too old. Sarah probably sat around and wondered whether all the hopes and the visions that they had was just foolish ideas. Have you ever heard God speak something to you and it took so long that you begin to wonder, am I being foolish? Did I really hear God say that to me? Am I just working out all my own fantasies here? But not so. God is on his way. You see, when all the efforts that you have put in have been put aside, then God steps in. God appears to Abraham this time in disguise. Abraham sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. It is God in front of Abraham. The Hebrew Bible makes that clear. But what Abraham sees is three men. It was only so much later, it was much later that Abraham realized who he was talking to. Abraham greeted the three men with the utmost courtesy. He ran to meet them. He bowed down on the ground. He addressed them as my Lord. He referred to himself twice as their servant. And he urged them to stop and rest. He hustled to get some water to wash their feet and brought bread before the main meal. Abraham rushed into the tent and found Sarah and said, quick, take three measures of the best flour and make some cake. He was running out of breath and didn't even know why. He couldn't explain to Sarah what he didn't understand. He ran and chose the best calf and told his servant, prepare it for a meal. No one spoke, Abraham, Sarah, or the servant. May Sarah remain out in the hidden view of the men, as tradition dictated that she should. So far, so good. Then suddenly, the conversation changed. Where is your wife, Sarah? One of the men asked. We now know that the three men are God. But Abraham didn't know at this point. He knew that there are no ordinary men. So he didn't seem surprised at the question. He just simply answered, they're in the tent. He says, not wondering why the guests would inquire about his wife. No one had ever asked about her before. You see, there was a shift in the atmosphere. And Sarah is the focus of attention. She couldn't be seen. Sarah was hidden away in the tent, just as she had been in times past. Had God come to speak to Sarah this time? This God who paid attention to Abraham so many other times, is he now turning his eyes towards Sarah? Is it you? Is it your turn this time? Is it my turn this time? Sarah must have said to herself. He says, I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah will have a son. And the spotlight swings around, and for the first time, Sarah hears God speaking to her. It's one thing to hear God through someone else. It's another thing to hear God for yourself. This was God. So he knew Abraham, he knew Sarah was standing at the tent door listening. So they are old, advanced in age, and she was no longer fertile. So Sarah laughed to herself. She had heard everything. What else could she do but laugh? Could she cry out? Could she argue? How could she do now what she couldn't do before? One Bible translation says that Sarah simply says, worn out as I am, and even now, she has to overhear it. Sarah laughed not out of disbelief, nor out of arrogance. Having lived most of her life in disappointment had taught her not to clutch at straws. Hopelessness, not pride, fueled her unbelief. Because she listened to God, she learned that she would finally have the baby she had prayed for. Now she will have her own contribution to God, a blessing from God. The Bible gives us a fairly broad sense of Abraham and Sarah's physical relationship. There was none. They were living like sisters and brothers. The Lord speaks to Abraham, but really he was speaking to Sarah. Sarah was astonished at the thought of being able to have a baby at this stage of her life. But the Lord was astonished that Sarah didn't believe him. You see, this was a divine moment, a divine surprise for Sarah. All Sarah could think to say is, I'm worn out and my husband is old. Will I really have a child now that I am old? But the Lord doesn't change his mind. You see, when our fears take us over and our hope fades, The ability to even process receiving a miracle becomes difficult. You see, there's a divine surprise here. God doesn't stop his plan because Sarah says he is about to deliver a divine surprise. You see, he's about to work something out through Abraham and Sarah's body. So he simply asked the question, is there anything too hard for God? God knows when we have laughed too, and we do laugh at God. Where is your faith and our trust in God in working of miracles today? God is about to deliver a great miracle through Sarah, and the embarrassment was necessary part of the event. You see, there is no Isaac born into this world without it. And Christ doesn't reside in us without repentance, submission, and acceptance of the miracle at Calvary. Is it too hard for God to renew a relationship you thought was dead? Is it too hard for God to deliver on his promise to you? Have all your senses hardened and your hopes vanished? All of a sudden, Sarah was all ears. When she heard one of the men say, "Why did Sarah laugh?" She thought to herself, "How could he know my thoughts? Who are these men? How did they know our names and our God?" Sarah stepped into the opening of the tent and answered the accusation. "I did not laugh." She lied because she was afraid. So many times we lie about our hopes and our dreams because we are afraid they won't come to pass. But God just responded, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." God is omniscient. He doesn't call her a liar, and he doesn't call us a liar. He doesn't blame her or blame us for hiding our faded hopes. He only confirms that he knew that she laughed. He knows that we laugh. Sarah tried to withdraw her laughter, but God would not have it. The son who is born to Sarah will be Isaac, which means God laughs. You see, laughter must be born. Laughter cannot be denied. All laughter will change Sarah's whole life. This is a very old story, but it's for you and me today. Some of you may find it's antiquated, boring, and you cannot relate. But I believe one or two things will be going on then. You haven't lived long enough. You haven't had to wait on God for something you really wanted. You haven't experienced disappointment that comes into our life as we live it. Maybe you've given up and you've passed hope and believing. Maybe you're just going through the motions, living off of somebody else's dream and giving up your own dreams. You see, this miracle at the Oak of Mamre brought Sarah from depression and despairing to hoping, from hardening to laughing. A dream deferred is not a dream denied. You see, in Sarah's story, we see God's presence, even though the reality of the world is often denying God's presence. Right from the beginning, it looked as if God's promise would never come to fulfillment. The hope for peace and justice for all humanity, for many of us, is a dream that doesn't seem to come true, just as Sarah's child seemed never to be born. But the miracle that happened to Sarah can happen over and over again, and it can happen today. You see, God wants to deliver miracles of change to the desperate who needs a future and a hope. God wants to deliver a miracle to those who are suffering with emotional and physical and psychological sickness. You see, God wants to deliver a miracle to the oppressed, the physical, and the verbally abused. You see, God wants to deliver a miracle to the disadvantaged, to the discriminated against by the unfair social structure of our day. How many more Sean Bells and Trayvon Martins that we gonna see come our way? You see, God has called us and invited us into his kingdom to set us free, to experience the miracle of a dream unexpectedly coming true, a friendship growing, a friendship healing, understanding and liberation, love to be found, a new perspective for life on the horizon, a place that feels like home. God wants to do a miracle today. Sarah laughed at the end, and so did God. God made Sarah laugh, so Sarah called her child Isaac by the name God Laughs. God brings laughter in our lives no matter what it looks like or what it feels like at that moment. The problem is, as Christians, we think because we serve a God who is all powerful and all knowing that life will be without trials and tribulations. Not so. We grow to be who God has called us to be because we have trials and tribulations. We are able to fulfill our purpose and the will of God for our life because we trust God and have faith in God to keep us and give us whatever we need to get through the journey. We dream dreams because we have faith in a God who's able to make our dreams come true. For nothing is impossible with God. We step out on God's promise and go in faith when it doesn't make sense, because we trust God who is omniscient. He knows and sees all. There is no danger or difficulty that God cannot bring you through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thy art with me, thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me. We are able to take a risk because of our faith in Christ, which make us to know that if I fail this time, I can try again. If I lose my possession and lose my way, I serve a God who's omnipotent. And he will restore me and give me back what the canker realms has stolen from me. You see, Paul said it something like this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ through Jesus, through God, through Christ Jesus. The wonderful lesson we learned today from Sarah's story is even when our hope is faded, it doesn't stop God from showing up and keeping his promise to us. God doesn't forget his promise, nor does he change his mind. God is well able, and he's going to do what he said he would do. As I closed just the other day, I was shown a picture of an 82-year-old lady from this community. She was in her wedding gown, getting married, as I was told, for the first time. She was marrying an 84-year-old man. This woman probably said to herself many, many years ago, God has another plan for me. So she stopped hoping of ever getting married. But God held her deepest desire in his hand. And when all hope seemingly was gone, God stepped in on her faith in him, the omnipotent God who can do anything, anytime, for anybody. You see, God is not held up by time, circumstance, or situation. God never fails, and God doesn't need your hope to bless you. God is looking for your faith in him to do what he can do, to know that he has the power to do anything. If your hope is faded, it's okay. You see, because God is looking for your currency from heaven called faith. Our faith in him, knowing that he's able to do anything but fail. We can hold on to his word. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not over until God says it's over. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, knowing that all had been accomplished, to redeem us from the penalty of sin and eternal damnation. He said, "It is finished." I don't know about you, but I did not hear God tell me he's finished with my life. And until he do, I'm going to hold on to my faith that God can still come through with a miracle for me. God will keep his promise. And when we look at, and when he looks at us, he doesn't see us, the sinner, the broken, the downtrodden, the tired, or the aged. God sees the blood of the Lamb of God. He sees Jesus Christ. And he will bless us with a blessing of a lifetime, even when our hope is faded. You see, Sarah was laughing at God. She was laughing at the possibility that even at her age, with God, her dreams could come true. When it seems crazy, when it looks crazy, and you feel it crazy, I want you to laugh. Because you see, God gets the last word. He can come in with a miracle and turn your world upside down. I don't know about you, but I trust God today that if he said it, he's well able to bring it to pass. I know that I serve a good God who's able to do anything but fail. And true to God's promise, Sarah gave birth to a son. We find in Genesis 21:6, and Sarah says, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh. When your hope is faded, God can still make you laugh. Tell somebody today, keep on laughing. Your hope might be faded, but your miracle is on the way. I'm giving God all the praises because it is not what it looks like. You see, my hope might be fading. I might have some doubts, but God is going to show up and show out. He's going to take that situation and take it to the next level. He's going to open up some doors and walk you right through them. He's going to bring your financial blessing right on time. Yes, you got more bills than money, but God is able and he can do anything but fail. I'm a living witness. He can take a nothing and make something out of it. I'm a living witness that you can live off of pork and beans and Franks and still make it. I'm a living witness that when all has left you and gone, that God will stand right there with you and walk you through it. I'm a living witness that my God is a healer. He can take your situation and turn it around. I'm a living witness. He'll make your enemy your footstool. He'll make your enemy blast you. And they don't even know why. But I'll tell you why. I serve a great God. I serve a God who can do anything. He looks beyond fault and see need. He's the God that looks beyond everything and know what we can do. Your hope might be fading, but God can still make you laugh. Turn to your neighbor and give him a good hearty laugh and say, I'm still laughing because my miracle is on the way. I'm laughing, God. I'm laughing, God. I'm laughing, God. I trust you today, God. I'm laughing, God. The enemy thought they had him. The enemy, Jesus, hung there high on the cross of Calvary. Satan says, I got him now. I got him now. He's dead, but Jesus had the last word. You see, they hung him high. They stretched him wide. He died at Calvary, but on the third day, he rose up. How? You want a rose up moment? He rose up with all power in his hand. Stand with the Lord and know that he's able. I don't know what you've been believing God for. I don't know what you've been trusting him for. And you've tried to convince yourself that it's not going to happen. But I say to you today that your faded hope doesn't stop God from doing what he promised, that he can still make you laugh. Believe God for it. Trust him for it and know that he's able. Don't look at you. Look at God. Look at the God we serve. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere at all times doing all kinds of things. Trayvon Martin's mother, there's a miracle coming your way. Stand hold and watch our God and see that the Lord won't work it out. He will work it out. He will work it out. Brothers, you're sitting there, but God will work it out. I know you don't want to hear from me today, but God will work it out. If you haven't been there yet, you're coming through it. Everybody go through a storm every now and then. If you're not in one, you're about to go in one, or you're coming out of one. You better hold on to God's unchanging hand and know that God is able. If he promised it, he will deliver. He's not like some people. Come when they feel like coming. Come when they think they can do something. God is there all the time. All the time, in the midnight hour. Every time you need him, he's right there with you. Is there one today? Would you please stand to your feet? Yeah.